Gary Pippen.
Okay, our guest here is Michael Bertrand, and the name of the book is Race, Rock, and Elvis. And we're talking about the rhythm and blues invasion, I guess, of radio turning into rock and roll, and it coincided with a lot of social change, especially in the South. And we were talking about black artists not being able to be played on white radio. Well, that's not really completely true. There were people like Nat King Cole, who, for lack of a better term, were... Oreo types. In other words, they appealed to the white audience or white showbiz. Nat was a very talented guy and one of my favorite people in the world, but he had trouble in Birmingham, I remember. Actually, they beat him up or something, didn't they, on a race riot or something?
Yeah, no, in Birmingham in the spring of 1956, Jerry, the citizens' councils in the South were getting really upset and angry and apprehensive about.
And that King Cole was the furthest thing from a threat. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. No, he was not a rock and roll performer, rhythm and blues, but citizens' councils and segregationist groups were getting upset with this rock and roll stuff, how it was affecting white teenagers. And it just so happened that Nat King Cole was coming to town, and they decided that some members of the groups were going to decided to make an example of Cole and make a statement. And so he came to Birmingham, where he was from Alabama, actually. He was from down in Montgomery. But he had left, like other black artists, to go and make his career elsewhere. But he came back to Birmingham, and the citizens' councils, they were going to make an example and try to make a statement about the maintenance of segregation. And so they had four members in the audience. It was an all-white performance back in those days with segregation laws. They were, if a black performer did have a white audience, if he did have popularity with whites, they had to form some type of segregated situation. You can have a clothesline separating groups, or you could have one show performed for whites, one show performed for African Americans. And that's what was done in this case. Cole performed first show before an audience of about 4,600 white members of an audience. Four members of that audience were Citizens Council members. When Cole began the second song, they jumped onto the stage and they attacked him, beat him to the ground.
Right in front of everyone. Huh?
Right in front of everyone, and the irony there.
Yeah, no, I wasn't familiar. I knew he'd been beaten, and I knew the year. But I assumed it was after the performance out on the street or something. But
no, it was
right there on stage.
It was on the stage. And the interesting thing, and I think as a Southern historian, which is what I am, I teach at Ole Miss, his orchestra was a mixed orchestra in the terminology of the period. There were a couple of African-American members of that band. And so because of that, the segregation law stipulated that they had to be separated from the rest from Cole. So there was a red velvet curtain that was separating Cole from his band. So his band members didn't know that he was being attacked. It took them a while. The law enforcement officials understood that something was going to happen. This conspiracy, they knew something during the week was going to happen, but they were slow to react. This is a law enforcement agency that was associated with Eugene Bull Connor.
Yeah, I was starting to say, sounds like one of Bull Connor's deals.
Yeah, it was Bull Connor and some of his associates. And so the interesting thing is that these men grabbed the microphone. They beat Cole to the ground, grabbed the microphone, and to the white audience, they basically gave a speech saying that we need to be careful with our music because this music is infecting our teenagers.
Now, was King Cole laying there? Or did
Cole was laying on the ground. He was prostrated on the ground. It took a couple of minutes for things to get restored. But they commandeered the microphone and they yelled that we need to get rid of this rock and roll music, rhythm and blues music. The interesting thing here is that I find the audience basically booed the assailants. And when Cole was finally helped back up off the ground, they cheered Cole. They cheered Cole and they said, don't let these guys bully you, so on and so forth. The interesting thing for me there, the irony, is that, and I always ask this of my students in the Southern Studies classes, what didn't they do that was really, you know, the catch here? You know, while they didn't join in on the beating or they didn't applaud the assailants, not one person in that audience stood up to help Cole. They did not get up to help him. And to me, this was very reflective, I think, representative of Southern culture in general. You don't have all these people like these assailants who are, you know, not all Southern whites were out there beating people or burning churches or whatever. But not many of them are going to stand up to stop those people either. And I think this was representative, very representative of that. Now, when they did finally apprehend the men, one of the men, they were all over 30, so they were all old, which is what I used to think was old.
You don't want to.
That's right, I've got to be careful. They, very careful.
I can't even remember 30.
I'm getting that. No, the police officers asked this assailant, why did you do this? Well, you know, why did you attack this man? He goes, I didn't like the idea of whites applauding a black performer. And that wasn't the term he used. He used an epithet there.
Yeah, right.
And so, again, I think this is in the middle of a period when rock and roll music is becoming extremely popular with young white kids in the South.
Pretend you're happy when you're blue. It isn't very hard to do, and you'll find happiness without an end whenever you pretend. Remember, anyone can dream, and nothing's bad as it may seem. The little things you haven't got could be a lot if you'd pretend. You'll find the love you can share, one you can call all your own. Just close your eyes, she'll be there. You'll never be alone. And if you sing this melody, you'll be pretending just like me. The world is mine, it can be yours, my friend. So why don't you pretend? Pretending just like me. The world is mine, it can be yours, my friend. So why don't you pretend?
That was about 4 years before rock and roll really started big. In 1952, Nat King Cole singing Pretend. Anything but a black song, wouldn't you agree? Middle of the road for sure. Interestingly enough, Nat King Cole actually had his first million seller 6 years earlier, back in 1946 with the Nat King Cole Trio, in which they had a trio that was kind of revolutionary. It had no drums. Nat King Cole himself played the piano and sang. And the million seller was called I Love You for Sentimental Reasons. 1946, not a lot of black artists around, but there were some on the top 10, like this one. This is the Ink Spots. A fellow by the name of Charlie Fuquay always read a little of the lines in the middle of the song. And the Ink Spots wove a very, very special, special feeling of emotion around each of their songs. This was one that really never lasted like many of the others, For Each His Own, for instance. But I've always liked the song, a great song. It's called The Gypsy.
In a quaint caravan, there's a lady they call
the gypsy. She can look in the future and drive away all your fears. Everything will come right if you only believe the gypsy. She could tell at a glance that my heart was so full of tears. She looked at my hand and told me my lover was always true. And yet in my heart I knew, dear, somebody else was kissing you. But I'll go there again, 'cause I want to believe the gypsy. That my lover is true and will come back to me someday. You see, she looked in my hand and told me that my baby would always be true. And yet, in my heart I knew, dear, that somebody else was kissing you.
But I'll go there again, 'cause I want to believe the gypsy.
That my lover is true and will come back to me someday.
Not quite 10 years later, from that incident in Birmingham, on February 15th, 1965, the King, Nat King Cole, died of lung cancer. We all have to agree that Nat King Cole was truly unforgettable.